Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Many of us probably know someone who's on a gluten-free diet. Only a small number of people have to stay away from gluten due to celiac disease. But many others say they feel much better now that they've stopped eating foods containing gluten. And gluten-free products have become a multi-billion dollar business. But why has something that has been a food staple for thousands of years suddenly become so threatening, as Michael Spector puts it? He asked that question in his article Against the Grain in a recent issue of The New Yorker. Michael, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me.
And Michael, from the get-go, your article has, I think it's fair to say, a tone of distinct skepticism, I would call it, about the gluten-free craze. Could you tell us a bit about why you decided to do this research and if you went into it in a debunking state of mind?
You know, I often go into things in a debunking state of mind. I actually didn't do that in this case. But so many people are gluten-free these days. It's such an obsession that I thought I would look into it and find out what was going on. And it didn't take me very long to find out that what was going on was kind of an international insanity.
And there are a number of best-selling books that describe the supposed dangers of gluten. You know, there's Wheat Belly, there's Grain Brain, The Surprising Truth About Wheat's Carbs and Sugar, Your Brain's Silent Killers. You note that that book calls gluten one of the greatest and most under-recognized health threats to humanity. But Michael, you interviewed doctors who told you that they believe gluten-free diets are just fads and even unhealthy fads. So what's their position on all this?
First of all, I think it's important to stress that for people who have celiac disease, this is a problem that's very severe and real. So those people do need to avoid gluten. That's 1% of the population. For the rest of us, you know, it's one of the many diets we tend to go on every 5 years, 10 years, whatever cycle we choose, that makes us feel good for a while until it doesn't. And when you go on a gluten-free diet, you may be giving up wheat and things like that for a while, and you would maybe lose weight because you're giving up a bunch of refined carbohydrates. Then people often start eating things that have sugar in them and salt, just a lot of things that aren't gluten but aren't good for you. So the idea that it's a healthy diet per se is silly and wrong.
Yet you cite a stat that says a third of Americans say they're now trying to eliminate gluten from their diets. That's pretty stunning. What explains why this has taken hold this way?
I think fear is a really major motivator when it comes to the way people conduct their lives and what they put in their mouth and how they want to feel. We're all searching for the golden, silver bullets that will stop our illnesses, make us thinner, stop us aging. And gee, people figured it used to be the South Beach diet. Now it's the gluten-free diet. In these books that really are thin in terms of intellectual rigor, tell people just do things and you'll feel a different way than you do now.
You had these amazing stories about, for example, a man who went to see a life coach and the life coach said, get off gluten. And a woman with anxiety and depression told by her psychiatrist to go gluten-free. I mean, you say your own friends are turning down your whole wheat homemade bread because of this.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of an epidemic, and we have those things psychologically that whip around and we all feel we need to catch the wave. And some people just feel, gee, you can't go wrong by giving up gluten and maybe you'll go right. The problem with that is we now have a national craze about something that there is no biological evidence exists for the vast majority of the people who are responding to it. And that, you know, when you start believing in fictions, then it's magic, not science, that you care about.
But, I mean, you know, even I have several friends who are off gluten, including one who's taken her kids off gluten. She says all of them feel better. I mean, have you come to the belief that this is psychological?
Oh, sure, to some degree. I mean, placebo effects work and shouldn't be denied, but they tend not to work for very long in situations like this. Now, some people really do, including children, get sick when they eat gluten. But for a lot of this, it's subjective decisions that really aren't made with very much rigor. And in terms of feeling better, I do think when people give up gluten, at least initially, they're often just, they're not eating pasta, they're not eating bread. They're usually consuming fewer carbohydrates and fewer calories, at least for a while. And that would tend to make you lose some weight and possibly feel better. It isn't the gluten per se. It may be a change in lifestyle. It's just that those change in lifestyles don't really tend to last very long, which is why we have fad diet after fad diet after fad diet.
We should point out here for people who are hazy on the nutrition that gluten isn't just synonymous with bread. I mean, this is also a hidden ingredient, you might say, found in places that might surprise people, like sauces and malt vinegar and even frozen vegetables.
I think about a third of the products that you buy in the supermarket that aren't just fish or chicken or something like that have gluten in them. Every sauce, so many different mixes, and you don't know it necessarily. Gluten is in a lot of things, which is one of the reasons I got interested in this story, because what have we been doing for the last 11,000 years but eating gluten? And suddenly, in the last couple decades, it's killing us. That isn't how evolution works.
I'm sure there are people listening to this conversation who could be infuriated because they may feel that going gluten-free has really changed their lives. So if we look at other reasons they may feel different, could you talk about how the way bread has been produced and processed over the decades and changed that could be a factor here?
Sure. I think it's worth pointing out, if people change their dietary habits and they feel better about it, far be it from me to tell them to change back. They should do what makes them feel good. All I can say is, when you look at the numbers, when you look at biology, when you look at statistics, we're not seeing it. Now, bread used to be something that was made out of flour and water and salt and yeast, and you'd rise it and you'd knead it, and it was very basic, and it served well for thousands of years. In the last 100 years, the Industrial Revolution changed that for the most part, and what we have are massive, you know, we're turning out hundreds of loaves of bread per hour and many bakeries and even more. And in order to do that, you can't let bread ferment over time. You just don't have the time. These things are made in a couple of hours. So you put in a bunch of extra gluten because that'll give it some definition. You change the yeast. You change the water. You do everything in a way that helps it form rapidly as opposed to over time. And that's a big change. That's a really big change. And, it, you know, I think bread is really the first industrial factory-farmed food. And that may be part of the problem.
You also point out in your article that bread contains a combination of complex carbohydrates. This is found in wheat, and maybe that's what bothers people rather than the gluten.
There's something called FODMAPs, which are extremely impossible to pronounce series of complicated carbohydrates that are found in a bunch of foods, and anyone can go on the internet and type in FODMAP and you'll find all sorts of FODMAP diets.
Right. You say in your article it's an acronym for a series of words that few people will ever remember.
I don't even remember it. But the thing is, when people gave up FODMAPs and continued to eat gluten, they felt better, even those people who thought they were having problems with gluten. It suggests that the FODMAPs, which are these carbohydrates, could be the problem for some people, that they can't digest them properly, whereas the gluten is protein. And that may not be those people's problem in any way. So we might just really be honing in on the wrong thing.
Michael, after all your reporting and writing on gluten, did you come away more or less skeptical about this fear of gluten that many people have?
Much more. I mean, I think the fear of gluten is by and large ridiculous. And I want to stress when I say that, that that doesn't mean that every one of the millions and millions of people who have given up gluten have no reason to do so. But even the most conservative doctors I talked to said probably 70% of them have no reason to do so. And that's crazy. We're making huge changes in our diet for no reason.
Michael Spector is a staff writer for The New Yorker. For a link to his article, Against the Grain, go to hereandnow.org. Michael, thanks very much.
Thank you for having me.